Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 20. Yat Sankulam Hari Padanati Matra Trishtair.
Yat Sankulam Hari Padanati Matra Trishtair.
Vaidurya Mara Katahema Mayur Vimanai.
Vaidurya Mara Katahema Vimanai.
Yesham Brihat Kata Yesham Brihat. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in their airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. What colour is lapis lazuli? Anybody know?
Blue.
Blue, yeah. Huh? What did you say?
Blue.
Blue. Like Kundalata Sari. Okay, what colour is emerald?
Green.
Green?
Red.
I thought emeralds are reddish colour. Are there such a thing as a green emerald?
Yeah.
Sapphires can be kind of greenish, right? Yeah, red I think you'll find, emerald. What colour's gold? Gold. Yellow. Yellowish. Gold. Golden. Aeroplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. Although crowded by their consorts who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces, they cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charms. Purport. In the material world, opulences are achieved by materialistic persons by dint of their labour. One cannot enjoy material prosperity unless he works very hard to achieve it. But the devotees of the Lord who are residents of Vaikuntha have the opportunity to enjoy a transcendental situation of jewels and emeralds. Ornaments made of gold bedecked with jewels are achieved not by working hard, but by the benediction of the Lord. In other words, devotees in the Vaikuntha world or even in this material world cannot be poverty-stricken, as is sometimes supposed. They have ample opulence for enjoyment, but they need not labour to achieve them. It is also stated that in the Vaikuntha world, the consorts of the residents are many, many times more beautiful than we can find in this material world, even in the higher planets. It is specifically mentioned here that a woman's large hips are very attractive and they stimulate man's passion. Interesting. What word does Prabhupada use he uses the word raja, which generally means passion, but he translates that as sex desire. But na rajaha, see that? Not passionate or not impassioned. But the wonderful feature of Vaikuntha is that although the women have large hips and beautiful faces and are decorated with ornaments of emeralds and jewels, the men are so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the beautiful bodies of the women cannot attract them. In other words, there is enjoyment of the association of the opposite sex, but there is no sexual relationship. The residents of Vaikuntha have a better standard of pleasure, so there is no need of sex pleasure. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnanjana Salakaya Chakchurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Karim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatavinam. So this is a similar refrain or a reprise of the previous verses. Basically that in the Vaikuntha realm, even though everybody is surrounded by opulence and wealth and opportunities for enjoyment, the focal point is Krishna. Right? Krishna Manam. Krishna Manam. And which is interesting because that's not mentioned in the translation. Directly. Other than they cannot be stimulated to passion. Right? Why not? Just like most of us are familiar with the mode of passion. Right? Anybody not aware of what the mode of passion does? Right? But we know the relief felt from not being pushed by the mode of passion. Right? Anybody not familiar with what Krishna consciousness does to the mode of passion? Huh? We wouldn't be here if we didn't or don't. One of the reasons why we attend a Bhagavatam class is so that we can mitigate the influence of the modes of material nature and be elevated to the platform of Sudha-sattva. Right? Our activities in devotional service are pretty much designed to elevate us to the mode of goodness. That means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. The asuras don't, they like passion and ignorance. They think that's enjoyment. But that passion and ignorance degrades. It just reinforces the bodily concept of life. And you know, passion, what's the end result of passion? Yeah, anxiety. In the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? The end result of passion is, starts with a D. Desire. Yeah, that, but that's beforehand. What happens after that?
Destruction.
Huh?
Destruction.
Destruction? Yes. After that. What's the end result of passion?
Dissatisfaction.
Huh?
Dissatisfaction.
Dis what?
Dissatisfaction?
Yeah, maybe. The specific word.
Distress.
Distress, yes. Distress. We think we're having a good time, and we wake up the next day and we're suffering. So the mode of passion leads to distress, although in the beginning it looks good. Right? Mode of passion looks nectar in the beginning, hell in the end. What's the mode of ignorance? Huh? Yeah, starts with distress, ends with distress. Right? So the mode of passion usually degrades into the mode of ignorance. Now, it's interesting, our sadhana is designed to bring us into the mode of goodness, but not just the mode of goodness, to the sudha-sattva, pure goodness, because there is also a materially influenced or affected goodness, which is basically a desire to enjoy the material world again. It's elevated beyond passion, but it needs to be utilized not to stay in the material world, but to get out. This is why the devotees are very concerned about, well, discrimination. Being able to identify what is beneficial and what is not. The persons in the mode of the non-devotees, the asuras, they just do it because I like it. Right? And because I like it, I can just do it. Don't stop me, because I just want to do what I want. But devotees are a little more that's a symptom of asura, and it's pretty much driven by passion. Passion gives rise to capricious behavior. You know what capricious behavior is? What's capricious? Something capricious.
Rebellious?
It may be, but it's not. Capricious means whimsical. Whimsical behavior. Capricious means whimsical. So no reference to the authorities. You know, in Krishna consciousness, we embrace authority. Who is the supreme authority? Right, who's the supreme authority? Yeah, Krishna's our authority. This is why we study the Bhagavad Gita. And you know, our authority says we should act according to certain rules and regulations. Certain prescriptions are given. But asuras don't care about those things. They embrace the mode of passion and the unlimited desires that come as a result, and the whimsical, capricious inventions that they create, seeking some form of happiness, which ultimately just ends up in being distressful. So the devotees are very careful. We have a set of guidelines delineated by Rupa Goswami, effectively, and Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas and in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of, you know, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And, you know, yoga practice begins, yama, niyama. That's things to be done and things to be avoided. Right, so positive injunctions, negative prohibitions. And so the devatas or the Vishnu bhaktas, they're very careful about what they do and what they don't do. Whereas and in that way, they maintain themselves in the mode of goodness or are able to be elevated beyond goodness to sudasattva or pure goodness. That's our goal. And so therefore goodness and pure goodness is the means by which we can be elevated, our consciousness can be elevated above this bodily concept of life. Is it a Freudian slip there? And so in that consciousness, then one sees everything in relationship with Krishna and is not disturbed by the Rajaguna. The asuras like Rajaguna. You know, I was listening to a lecture today, last couple of days. Prabhupada says, previously there was a preponderance of devatas on the planet. Right? But now there's a preponderance of demons. Right? I don't know if you've noticed. And they think motive passion is good. Rules and regulations, religious superstition or whatever. But we know by engaging in the process of devotional service, we are able to differentiate between ignorance, passion and goodness. In fact, Krishna dedicates a whole chapter to explaining the symptoms and the results of each. 16th or 14th? Which chapter is it? Can I remember? What's the chapter about the three modes of material nature? 14th, isn't it? Why is the 16th chapter related to the modes of material nature? What's the connection? There's a test on the Bhagavad Gita. Who? Hands up those who have read the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, rightio. So no excuses for not knowing the answer. But what's the connection between the 14th chapter and the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? You have to think about this one. Patrick, got an idea? 16
is divine and demonic
nature, right? That's right, yeah. Yes, they correspond with the three modes of material nature. The influence of the modes of material nature will determine whether you're a devotee or a demon. Hands up those who think that they're demons. Hands up those who think they're devotees. Huh? Hands up those who can't work out which they are. This is why we have to read the Bhagavad Gita. And what we'll discover is that, we wouldn't be here if we weren't devotees. This is, demons don't sit down and discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? The demons are actually running off to work now. Right? And looking at each other and thinking, oh, what an upstanding citizen you are. You're getting up and going off to work at this time of the day. Very responsible person. Very good little demon, right? But the devotees, like Prabhupada says here, and they work hard. People, especially around here in Albert Park, to live in Albert Park, you have to work very, very hard, right? To accumulate the amount of money that you need to buy a house here and maintain your status requires a lot of work. But Prabhupada points out here, the devotees enjoy material opulences without working too hard. Right? We actually have the opportunity to rise early, to chant Hare Krishna, to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship, perform our puja, and to ensure that our consciousness is elevated above the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. You know, now, that doesn't mean that we don't do anything. You know, some people think that if you're very active, then you're in the mode of passion. But Srila Prabhupada was very active, right? In order to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and travel around the world 12 times in 14 years, that doesn't mean that he was doing nothing, right? He was extremely active. But does that mean he was in the mode of passion? Huh? What do you think? No. Because a person in the mode of goodness is also active. The residents of Vaikuntha have a lot going on. A lot of sankirtan. Huh? From reading the other day. So, you know, this Krishna Atmanam, in other words, absorbed in Krishna, and Yat Sankulam Haripadanati Matra Drishtair, right? Which means the Vaikuntha abode is pervaded at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ooh, okay. Anati. Where's that? Oh, Padanati. Matra. Simply. Drishtair are obtained. Okay, very interesting what it says here. Yat sankulam hari padanati matra drishtair. So what does it say here? Yat. That Vaikuntha abode, Sankulam, is pervaded. Haripada. What's Haripada? The feet of Hari, right? Hari Anati. Anati. By obeisances. Matra Drishtai. So, you know, Prabhupada's point is here that the devotees get their opulence by paying obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And then serving Krishna. And in that way the opulence comes. Because they're busily engaged in service. And so, you know, the devotees do work. And they work with, you know, stamina. And a stamina that can match the materialists, actually outdo the materialists in one sense. Right? We wake up, what time? 4 o'clock in the morning. That's just the beginning of our day. And, but the main business, the main order of the day is to offer obeisances to the Lord. Right, this is the symptom of Vaikuntha. And it's a symptom of the temple. Right? The symptom of the temple is to offer obeisances to the spiritual master first, then to, well, what's our system? The spiritual master, the parampara, the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. So, you know, in that sense, to Krishna. So that's the first order of the day, is to offer our obeisances. And all of our activities are performed throughout the rest of the day in that mood. You know, the morning program is designed to enthuse and to imbibe the mood of service to the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Lord, and the Lord of the material world too. And so You know, we're setting up our day by chanting Hare Krishna and by remembering the Lord and you know, our sadhana, basically our sadhana. What is it? Manmana. If you want to become a devotee, manmana, you have to think of Krishna. And so that's the consciousness that pervades Vaikuntha, and it's the consciousness that pervades the community of devotees, ideally. Right? What's the consciousness of the asuras? In contrast or in comparison. Huh? Forgetfulness of Krishna, yeah. But
slipping.
Huh?
Sleeping in.
That's the ignorance. That's the mode of ignorance, karmis. Mode of passionate guys are all out there. But what are they doing? Yeah. Competing with each other. Right? I'm the supreme. How dare you be better than me? Envying each other. And then competing with each other. But the devotees are not. One of the characteristics of the spiritual realm is anusuyare, right? Non-envious. Non-envious. Because they know, you know, whatever opulence or whatever facility or whatever ability is in a person, that's been given by Krishna. Right? Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. Krishna is the ability, the everything, ultimately. So, as a result of that mood of offering obeisances, of offering service, of offering respect to all living entities, understanding Krishna's presence within everyone and everything, that everything isavasyam idam sarvam, everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that whilst I may be a proprietor, he is the supreme proprietor. And I'm only looking after what actually belongs to him. Right? We see that in the story. Is it Maharaj Prithu? Was it Prithu Maharaj? The brahmanas gave everything to him. But he said, no, this is all yours. But I'll look after it for you. So long as you instruct me on how I should look after it. Right? So, you know. And of course the brahmanas, they understand that it all belongs to Krishna. So therefore it should be used for Krishna's purposes. When we have a demonic society and a suric society, then everybody's competing with each other for control of the possessions. But in a Vishnu Bhakta society, everybody understands that ultimately it belongs to God, and the brahmanas are respected for having that vision. And people go to the brahmanas to seek advice on how they should act in order to sustain and maintain that vision that everything belongs to the Lord. Right? But in this day and age, no, it's, you know, aham ameti, I and mine. And if you touch anything of mine, then I'll get you. Right? I'm going to get you. That's what kids used to say at school. They probably say it now too. I'm going to get you, mate. Right? What's that mean? That means I'm going to kill you, basically. This is asuric mentality, right? Getting somebody means I'm going to harm you. Okay, so in the spiritual realm, everything is so much more opulent and beautiful, attractive, desirable, right? So much more desirable. So, but the devotees are satisfied by the service, just like we mentioned the other day. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The symptoms of the devotees is that they're satisfied. They're nourished and satisfied by katayantas cha mam nityam, by hearing and chanting. What is it? Savai mana krishna padara vindayo vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu vanane. Right? Amarish Maharaj was fixed, just like here. Everybody's fixed in the consciousness of Krishna. Krishnatmanam, right? And Hari Padanati, offering obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord. Hearing Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane, we keep our mind fixed on Krishna by Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udoy, the Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. The eternal perfection of Krishna Prem is already in our hearts. It's who we actually are. We are Satchit Ananda. Just we've covered with asat, you know, impermanence, ignorance and suffering. Right? The opposite of satchit ananda in the material world. But when we uncover our original identity, then we become cognizant of our eternality. We become aware of who we are, what our goal in life is, what we should be doing. We become enthused. In material life, we become discouraged and depressed. And just like my father at the moment, he's in hospital. And he had an accident. He's basically leaving his body. And so occasionally he gets depressed. Fair enough. Right? When you identify with the body and you're at the last stages of your life, then you're going to be depressed. Huh? No knowledge, and everything is just painful. All the things that you worked hard for and have enjoyed are now being taken away. Ooh. Very hard to accept. But on the platform of Krishna consciousness, we even in a difficult situation, one can be happy. You know, look at Vritrasura. He knew that Indra was going to kill him. But he knew the outcome of the fight. But he was such a devotee. And when he clobbered Indra's elephant, right, whacked him with his club, and Indra, you know, and Indra, Airavata and Indra are substantial personalities. Indra's the king of the demigods. So, you know, he doesn't get that position by being just a, you know, he's a powerful, strong personality. Yet when Vritrasura hit him, his elephant went backwards. Right? So Indra got a bit of a shock. And he knew that Vritrasura was powerful enough to defeat him. And so he became a little... And Vritrasura said, come on, don't be a coward, fight. Because he knew that when he left his body, he would go back to the spiritual world. This is why we have to be, it's very interesting. You know, we can't judge, it's sometimes it's difficult to judge a person's character. Right? Don't judge a book by the cover. When Hiranyakashipu's wife was kidnapped, Hiranyakashipu had been defeated, and his wife had been kidnapped by the demigods, right? And Indra had her and was dragging her away, and she was protesting. You know, Prabhupada makes the point that in war, the women are plundered by the enemy. Anyway, Narada Muni happened to see what was going on, and he said, "What are you doing?" And Indra said, "This woman is the wife of Hiranyakashipu." And Narada Muni said, "But you shouldn't be, you know, women are to be protected, not to be harassed." And Indra said, "She's going to have a child, and I'm not going to harm her, but he's the son of Hiranyakashipu, and so therefore he's going to be a big asura. And so when he's born, I'm going to kill him." Right? And Narada Muni said, no, he's a Mahabhagavata. He knew. He said, he's not an asura, he's going to be a Mahabhagavat. Right? So let me look after them, and then we won't be, you know, guilty of, we won't face or suffer the reactions of mistreating a woman. And as a consequence, even though Prahlad Maharaj was born of such a big demon, right? So you would ordinarily think, okay, dad's a demon, son's a demon, right? And that's very often the case, right? That's usually the rule, but not always the rule. It's just like Vritrasura. He was a demon, but actually he was a great devotee, and he was fighting with the demigods. And Indra had the benediction. I think they went to see the demigods went to see. What was his name? Dadichi. Was it Dadichi? Right? Just see what a saint Dadichi was. They said to Dadichi, you know, he's a brahmana, saintly person, and the demigods went to see him, and he said, "What would you like?" And they said, "We want your bones." Right? Can you believe this? "We want your bones," because they knew that if they were told somehow, if they had the bones of Dadichi and they ground them up, they could make a weapon that would kill Vritrasura. Is that right? Yeah. Pretty far out story, isn't it? Like if I come up to you and say, "Prabhuji, you're a brahmana. It's the duty of the brahmanas to give in charity." "Yeah, sure. Now what would you like?" "Oh, can I have your bones?" Because if you take somebody's bones, what does that mean? You've killed them. Yeah. If you take someone's bones, that's it, finished. That's the core of the body. So anyway, elevated level of consciousness is provided for one who is Krishna conscious. And why the morning sadhana for the devotees, or any sadhana, it doesn't have to be only in the morning. It could, you know, all throughout the day, our activities are actually sadhana. The service should also be sadhana. We shouldn't see the difference between service and sadhana. You know, that's actually maya. Because sometimes we say, "Oh, I've got to do all this service." Huh? But actually, service is sadhana. Because it's meant to be offered to Krishna. So, in the morning, yes, or at some time, certain points in the day, we dedicate just, certainly we should have at least 2 hours in a day, or however long it takes to chant 16 rounds, we should put aside, obviously, that's ours, basis of our sadhana, isn't it? Jai Hare Krishna. But that's powerful. That very act of just chanting Hare Krishna is so potent. You know, and not sniggity ram, you know, just walking around chanting. I mean, you can do that, right? Clicker chanting at work or wherever. That's better than no chanting. But if we want this, what is it here? Sankulam Hadipadat Hadipadanati Matra Drishtaya and Krishnatmanam. If we want to be absorbed deeply in Krishna consciousness, then our japa's got to be, you know, focused and absorbed. Isn't it? Not just sniggity rams. You can do it. Sometimes we do it. You know, just because something happened. Lots of things happened in life. Or tired. We didn't have enough rest, is my experience. Worked too hard. So we need a balance. Because, you know, wake up the next day and then you try to chant Hare Krishna and what happens? Right? Have you experienced that? You know, it takes 3 hours to chant three rounds. Right? I remember the day I got married, and the devotees, you know, we were guests at New Govardhan. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, they said, you know, I only found out I was getting married the day before. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, they said, oh, you're getting the jagya together. Right? What? Yeah, you got to get the jagya together. I said, what? You know, I haven't got a car. I don't know where anything is. Right? And I've got to get the jagya together. Can you believe that? This is the Hare Krishna movement in the 70s. Actually, it was the 80s, but they're pretty close to the 70s. So, you know, how to find the sand, how to find the bricks, how to find all the wood, how to find all of the other paraphernalia. You know, so somehow I managed it. That's the advantage of being pushy, right? Sometimes if you want to get things done in the Krishna consciousness movement, then you've got to be pushy. Otherwise it won't happen. You'll be the one expected to do it. And nobody will give you any resources to do it with. Right? These days everybody says, come on, you want me to do service? Where is everything? Give it to me. Right? It's all got to be, the red carpet's got to be rolled out and so forth. But, you know, when the devotees were establishing Krishna, you know, the Krishna consciousness movement, they had nothing. You know, when Bali Mardan and Upendra came to Australia, there wasn't anybody to pick them up at the airport. Right? Neither was there anywhere to stay. Could you imagine going to a, you know, no money, and you're going to a country, and there's nobody to pick you up at the airport, and you don't even know where you're going to stay. They had Bali Mardan had the name of a couple of people that he met in America or something. Or was it in Singapore? And where did they stay? Anybody know where they ended up staying? You haven't read the book? Journey to the Pacific Rim. You should read the book. Where did they end up staying? Anybody know? Huh? In the squats. Yeah. You know what the squats means? Houses with no gas, no electricity, and other undesirable persons living in them as well. Can you imagine that? If we said to the brahmacharis, okay, here you go. No ashram for you, but you'll have to camp out tonight. What would they do? What? We're the brahmacharis. Where's our evening meal? Forget about it. No evening meal. Nothing. Not even a place to cook. No gas. Imagine that. Amazing. How did I get onto that? Anyway, sadhana. We need good, strong sadhana, despite the disturbances that might exist around us, so that we can maintain our perspective, even through very difficult circumstances and situations. We can make japa. That's how I got to it. Japa. Good japa. We need good chanting. And if we're too tired, it's hard to chant. I was telling the story about how I got married. Huh? And so at the end of the day, I had chanted 13 rounds. Somehow I managed to get 13 rounds in, but it was at 8:30 at night, and I had 3 rounds left. And I remember it took me till 10 o'clock to finish those 3 rounds. And I was thinking, so I had to chant. So I had to chant Hare Krishna. But actually it's not. And so therefore, you know, going to bed early is very important, getting up early, so that then we can develop this mood of always thinking of Krishna, being Krishna conscious, so that the attractiveness, and this attractiveness exists in the material world. Beautiful women, opulence, wealth, these things are attractive, even in the material world. But the example of the residents of Vaikuntha is important for us, because they have all of this, what might ordinarily be considered distractions. But because they're totally absorbed in Krishna, therefore they're given all of that opulence, but they're also then able to see and use that opulence in the proper perspective or in the proper relationship with Krishna. And so they're not distracted by the mode of passion to want to enjoy those facilities, but rather they want to use them in Krishna's service. What? And so that's what we should be. Situated in a mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, by the performance of a strong, regulated, you know, the Asuras don't want regulation, but the devotees want regulation. They want structure, they want order, especially when it comes to the performance of our sadhana, because that's our life, that's our strength in being able to keep everything focused on Krishna, as it, like the residents of Vaikuntha. And that doesn't mean that all we do is sadhana and we don't do our seva. The seva is also sadhana. They go together. Whatever they may be. Some of us are householders, we look after our families, but that's our service. And others, the brahmacharis, are trained to just focus on doing service to the Lord. All service, ultimately, for the pleasure of Krishna. But it's balanced with Krishna consciousness. Or here, Krishnatmanam. And Krishna, what is it? Hari Padanati. Offering obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Realizations? My realization is that they're eating breakfast. We might miss out. What do you reckon?
Run.
No, we offer our obeisances to Krishna. Whatever we get, It'll be arranged by the Lord. I used to do the divide and the serve out when I first joined the temple, you know, and you'd be serving out the sweets, and I always want to have a burfi, and I get to the last person and there'd be one burfi left, and I'd be thinking, Krishna, don't let him take the burfi. Anyway, whether I got the burfi or not, it was Krishna's arrangement. I didn't fade away. Okay, Gwandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Binda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Okay. Turn it back.